Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Welcome everyone to the house of the Lord. Amen. Welcome all of us here this evening. And welcome all of you joining us right now on our live stream. Thank you so much for tuning in and watching. If it's right now, thank you for waiting for us. Or if it's after the fact, thank you so much for participating and joining us on the live stream. I go by Pastor Teddy Santos from Baltimore Christian Faith Center in Randallstown, Maryland. And all are welcome to come. All are welcome to participate and join us and participate here in person. It's come as you are. All are welcome. Come just as you are. So, and I'll let you interpret that the best way you can. I'll just leave it at that. So, actually, the CDC has lifted up, has eased up on us, hasn't it? Right? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Starting today? Yesterday. It was yesterday, right? Yeah. Let's just go with yesterday. Yeah. So really, come as you are. Come with a mask or no mask, it doesn't matter. Come with an inhaler. That's fine. With a respirator. Be walking out of here differently. I could guarantee you that in Jesus' name. By the power that is in the name of Jesus. Amen. So come as you are. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. And today is another Wednesday. Which means what? The battle is already won Wednesday. Or, as our dear brother Michael would say, Winner's Wednesday. Or Wednesdays for winners? Wednesdays for... Yeah. Wednesdays for winners. That's right. Winter Wednesday. Nonetheless, yes, all apply for those who love God, right? All things work for the good. Amen. So today we're going to continue. We're actually going to continue part of our study from last week. And before we do, let's go ahead and start with the word of prayer. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. Lord, we worship you. Blessed be your holy name, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for another day, this beautiful day, Lord, that you've given us. Thank you, Lord, for the wonderful seasons that you've blessed us with. But Lord, we glorify your day, Lord, every single day. No matter how it is, Lord, no matter what comes our way, we will always glorify your holy name. And I pray, Lord, that right now, as your word goes forth, that everyone, Lord, here right now and everyone watching this, Lord, right now, will be touched by you in a mighty, mighty way. I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will open up the minds and the hearts and the understanding of everyone, Lord, participating right now in this Bible study. We love you, Lord. May you receive all the honor and glory and praise. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And I believe my jacket is making some funny sounds. So please pardon me for that. I wasn't aware that this thing was so noisy. But the microphone picks it up, so that's a good mic. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. Have we brought our Bibles? Yes. Praise God. Thank you. We're going to continue. We're going to pick up where we left off last week. The title for last week was Be Strong and Courageous, right? And the verse that I started out last Wednesday evening was Joshua chapter 1, verses 9. And I didn't include it on the list, but I'm just going to go ahead and read it out loud. If you want to put it up, that's fine. But it goes like this. Joshua 1, verse 9 says, Have I not commanded you? Thank you, brother. Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. That was the foundation to our Bible study last Wednesday. And continuing on in the topic and the theme of the battle is already won. And here the key thing that we discovered, uncovered, expanded on was for us to be strong, always to be strong, and for us to always be courageous. Words of our God to his guy, his man, Joshua. We're going to talk about Joshua in a little bit, in just a while. But I think it's important for us to take a slight detour and look at something slightly different. Mainly focusing on us. We, one-on-one. I have been preaching, I have been teaching, I have been talking about the battle already won this and the battle already won that. We talked about fear, overcoming fear, conquering fear, for us not to be despaired, not to be discouraged. For a while, I've spoken about knowing who you are in Christ, courage. Today, I want to talk about the inner man. Because every single one of us, we have an inner man. Whether you are on fire for the Lord, church believer, whether or not you are debating to see if religion is something for you, whether or not this suits your lifestyle, or whatever the case might be, you also have an inner man. We all, every single one of us, we have an inner man. And today, for those of us who depend on the Lord, who have victory in the Lord, there's something that's very important for us to do, every single one of us, all of us, myself, all of us here, you as watching right now, and that is strengthening your inner man. So, here you have Joshua, you got his guys, you got his soldiers, or even so in today's day and age, let's say in the American army, actually just about any army, any military force out there in the world, the men that go to battle, who fight, they have to be in shape, right? They have to exercise, they have to pass certain tests, conditioning tests. They have to be fluent in their artillery, in their weapon, right? In their rifle, per se, if you're a Marine. Different things. So they need condition, they need strength, they need to exercise, they need to lift weights and all those things. The same applies for us in our spiritual man. If we're going to win the fight. And we're going to talk about that this evening. Officially, my opening verse is going to be Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16. May I have that, please? It says, Ephesians 3:16, that he would grant you. Notice he here is capitalized, so we know who he is. That the Lord would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man. Aha. Now, I'm here to say that we cannot help but to be struck by the vastness of Paul's request right now. Paul is asking right now a tall order, if you understand what he's asking right now for the believers, for the saints, that the Lord our God, the Lord in whom we serve, would grant you, me, you, and then he says, according to the riches of his glory. Why is that significant? He is going to ask that the men and women of God, the saints of the Lord, might be spiritually strengthened. Spiritually strengthened. Do you believe that spiritual strength is important? Yes? Do you put a lot of emphasis on spiritual strength? You cannot be, let's say, spiritually anemic. Spiritually parched. Spiritually malnourished. Yes, that's very good, right? Spiritual strength is extremely important for every single saint. For myself, for all of us here, from youngest to oldest. Spiritual strength right now is the key subject right now in this topic here that Paul is talking about. That our God whom we serve, he's asking that our Lord was strengthened spiritually the saints. But the question is, to what extent? Tell me, to what extent does our Lord strengthen us? We don't understand God. One day we will. One day we will see our God face to face. One day we're going to behold our God and his beauty, just as he is. But right now, there's a question, there's a petition right now being asked by Paul. There's a commentary that I came across that I want to share with you right now. It goes in quote, "To what extent? In abundance, consonant to the riches of his glory, not according to the narrowness of our hearts." And I thought that was profound. Not according to the narrowness of our hearts, but according to the consonant riches of his glory in abundance. I ask right now, you know, I was thinking about giving an illustration here right now, and I could not think of one. So I'm going to see if I can think of one right now on the fly. Let's see. Have any of you guys, actually, this is going to be an easy question. Have any of you guys tasted a pie made on the grill, on a smoker? Well, you don't count. I know you have. But you haven't. Wow. No? Oh, yes, you have. So I can tell you what a smoked pie is supposed to taste like, and then I can tell you what a regular pie, the same pie, would taste like baked in a traditional oven, in a conventional oven is what they call it, right? Conventional. So now you have somewhat of an understanding of what it is, but it is limited because you've never experienced it. You don't know what to expect. If in case you're wondering, yes, I have several times baked a sweet pie on my smoker. And it turned out amazing, in my opinion. But that's just what I do. I like to make stuff on my grill. I enjoy it. And I found it to be delicious. And maybe a couple of you might agree with me. But nonetheless, to everyone else, you're going to have a narrow point of view. You won't have anything to base it on. Why? Because I venture to say that you've never tried a pie. It's, what is that, a blueberry lemon basil pie, right? A blueberry pie smoked with goat cheese and basil. I mean, it's like an explosion that happens in your mouth. But up until now, your thoughts about it, your experience is a little bit narrow. Now, preachers, ministers, teachers often point out that there is a difference between the expression out of the riches and according to the riches. Do you know the difference between the two? I'm going to go ahead and jump in that bandwagon. I'm going to be one of those preachers today. I'm going to use an example right now. There could be a wealthy individual, a wealthy person, someone who's very well off, and they could give a very minuscule amount to a cause. Say we are like right now in a church setting. So let's just say they give an offering, right, to the church. Or let's just even say that they might be giving something, a donation to a nonprofit organization. Or whatever the situation might be. They gave a minuscule amount is the term that I used. That act would be out of his riches, but not in proportion to them. Do you understand? Did I explain that adequately? Yes? Now, let's get back to the scripture here. The Apostle Paul is asking the Lord, he's asking God that the Lord will give strength according to the riches of his perfection. According, not out of, but according. This is massive. This is huge. And since the Lord is infinitely rich in glory, let the saints get ready for a flood. Let the saints get ready for an avalanche. When the Lord gives, when the Lord provides, when the Lord comes through. And why should we ask so little? Ask so little of such a great God. Why? To me, that doesn't make any sense. The God who created everything, heaven and earth, who is more than willing, he is able to do anything and whatever according to his plan, according to his purpose, according to his glory. The story goes when someone asked a tremendous favor from Napoleon, it was immediately granted because this is what Napoleon said, quote, "He honored me by the magnitude of his request." Napoleon. The person who asked him this grand favor, that favor was granted immediately. Because according to the words of Napoleon, quote, "He honored me by the magnitude of his request." Do you honor the Lord your God with your requests? Is it always, "Oh, humble me," or "Oh, Lord, mercy"? Our God is able to go above and beyond and supersede all of our expectations, way beyond what we can ever, ever, ever imagine. This is the God whom we serve. John Newton once wrote this poem that said, "Thou art coming to a king. Large petitions with thee bring, for his grace and power are such, none can ask too much." None can ever ask too much, pardon me. I thought that was quite clever. But now we come to Paul's specific prayer request right now. And instead of some series of disconnected petitions here and there, we should think of this as progression. Picture this as somewhat of like a pyramid. The first request is the bottom layer, and then advances, and then advances up until it reaches a glorious pinnacle. The first request is that they should be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man. Yes? To be strengthened with might through his Holy Spirit in the inner man that's inside of all of us. Now, the blessing sought here, just so we're all clear, as far as what we're talking about, as far as power is concerned, it is spiritual. The inner man right now is the man that's inside every single one of us. Now, I also would like to include that this also has to do with spiritual vigor. This also has to do with spiritual maturity. This also has to do with spiritual intelligence, stability for every single Christian, because those are things that's required. These are things that we need. We need to have spiritual maturity. We must have spiritual intelligence. We must have spiritual stability, not just spiritual bruteness, strength. Yes, we need to have spiritual strength, absolutely, but we need to be well balanced, just like our normal physical self. And just so we're fully clear, the one that imparts this spiritual power is the Holy Spirit of God. That's who does that for us. That is who does that for us. Pardon me. Getting a little bit tongue-tied here this evening. Now, of course, we can receive strength through reading the Word of God. We can receive strength by prayer time with the Lord. We can receive strength by daily exercise in service to the Lord, or every opportunity that we have to serve our God. All these things strengthen our inner man. This power is experienced inside, and that is the spiritual part of our nature. It is the inner man that delights in the law of the Lord. It is the man that's inside. Let me show you Romans chapter 7, verse 22. It says, "For I delight in the law of God according to the inner man." You notice that? It is the inner man inside of us that delight in the things of God. This refers to the spirit of man, which knows, and which is immortal. Your inner man is immortal. It also takes in the soul, that is, the seat of the feelings, the seat of emotions and desires. You see, for Paul not only knew and willed to do the will of God, but he also delighted to do the things of God. And there is what the difference is. Do you delight to do God's work? Do you find enjoyment to talk about God, to share your testimony, to come to the house of God and worship every opportunity that you have, whenever it's possible? The things that bring delight to the Lord. Do you delight speaking to the Lord? I'll let that be a personal question between yourself and the Lord. Some of the things, do you force yourself to do a devotional? Do you force yourself to read your Bible, to have prayer time? Or do you enjoy it? Do you yearn it? Do you look forward? Do you miss it when you don't have enough of it? One person that was right in par with the Apostle Paul once upon a time. That's King David. Listen to these words that we find in Psalms chapter 1, verse 2. It says this, "For his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night." See, Paul and David right now, I should say David and Paul, are right here, eye to eye. They're seeing eye to eye right now. They both delight in the things of the Lord. And as far as Paul is concerned, Paul right now, he has a new nature. He's a brand new man. And his delight is in the law of God. He knows that the law is holy and that it is an expression of God's will. Did you ever look at God's law and His statutes? And did you ever consider that God's laws is an expression of His will? All that He said to us, that He instructs us, it is a direct expression of the will of God. And He wants to do God's will. And it is the inner man that's renewed every single day. The word of the Lord says, even though the outward man is perishing, it is your inner man that's rejuvenated every single day. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13 says just that. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. This is why we fear not. We're not dismayed. We're not discouraged. You know, this body is going to wither. This body is going to die off. You know, if the Lord doesn't come back, this body is going to go right to the ground. And we don't get depressed. We don't get discouraged. It is our inner man that we focus on, who you want to strengthen. And though it is from the Lord, this inner man, it needs to be strengthened every single day. It needs to grow. It needs to develop. We always need to work our inner man continuously. May I please have Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. And it says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. In other words, be strong and courageous. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Being strong in the Lord, you can conquer anything. You can overcome anything. You know, I've recently discovered that Ukraine, there's a large population of Christians in Ukraine. I wasn't aware. And it's a big number, like 80%. Like 80-something percent of the population of Ukraine is Christian. Believers, I wasn't aware of that at all. And in the last couple of days, I have been hearing, for the honor and glory of God, some wonderful, wonderful testimonies that's been going on in Ukraine. Miraculous testimonies. Talking about like missiles coming over and blown up in midair before they hit the ground. That's awesome. That's only the Lord. On my feed yesterday, there was a farmer who hooked up his tractor to a tank, to a full-size tank, and was dragging it down the street, towing a tank. They're just another farmer towing a missile tank, you know. Nothing much here, nothing to look at. Nothing to see, right? Probably ran out of gas. Yep. The people in Ukraine have mismatched and misplaced all the street signs and all the directions, like turn here, like, you know, 5 miles, they're going to take you to this road. And they have misplaced all of that, and the soldiers now are getting lost inside of Ukraine because all the directions are all over the place. They're going to like the wrong, like all these things, you know. These things that we do, and then the Lord takes over the rest, and it's just like, it's for the honor of God. Only prayer, right? Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord, right? This war is not yours. It belongs to God. And right now, this is why we place so much emphasis on the inner man. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of the might of our God. Be strong in His power. Speaking of our guy Joshua, and I'm getting ready to wrap up here in just a couple minutes. The size and duration of the task that was ahead of him, right? The pressure of leading such blessed people. I guess that's the best adjective that I can use right now. And the absence of his spiritual mentor, which is Moses, were perhaps things that were so heavy right now in the heart of Joshua, in the mind of Joshua. He's seen what Moses went through. He's seen the trouble that these people, the headache that these people gave his guy Moses. And he's like, what? Now I'm next? I'm supposed to deal with this? I'm supposed to do what? These millions and millions of people, these stiff-necked people. I'm sure Joshua was like, oh my goodness, I have no idea. But the Lord was not calling Joshua without first enabling him. And that applies to all of us. He's not going to call you to a mission. He's not going to call you to his work. He's not going to send you somewhere to do his bidding without enabling you. That is always true. I have seen it over and over, and I've heard also of stories over and over again of people doing things and going places where they weren't sent, or weren't ordained, or weren't supposed to for XYZ reasons. We won't get into the details. But right now, our Lord God is calling Joshua, but first he is enabling Joshua. He's getting him ready. And there were several good reasons for Joshua to be strong. And I'm going to just run right through them, one by one. We're going to go back to Joshua 1. The very first thing that God said was, I promise you something. I am giving you my word, my promise to you. Joshua 1, 5 and 6, please. And here's the promise of God. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give to them. That is God's promise to his guy. And that is God's promise to every single one of us. Our God is with us every step of the way. Amen? The next thing that our Lord God did for Joshua is to secure a sure victory. In addition, God's word. Let's move on now to verse 7 and 8, please. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. And do not turn, from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Our God is teaching him, is setting him up, is enabling him right now. The word of God is not to depart his mouth, his heart. And thirdly, a safe guide. Specifically, what I mean is God's presence, a sustaining power. Let's wrap it up here with verse 9. May I have verse 9, please? Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. I was going over these notes today before service. Just rereading some of these things here, make sure I got my grammar right and I have my spelling correct and everything is buttoned down fine. And I come across this part here and I felt God's love right now, in verse 9, right now, to Joshua. The Lord is over and over and over again talking to a person. Hey, no, get up, be of good cheer. Come on, you can do it. You can do it. No, you can do it. Let's go, right? Imagine when you're on a bench press and you have a spotter. And you're right there at your limit, right? My limit used to be, once upon a time, 200. And they're standing behind you, and you're laying down there trying to push 200 pounds. You only weigh about 175 or so, but you're trying to push out 200. And they're like, come on, you can do it. Let's go. And they're like pumping you up, right? It's like the Lord right now is telling Josh, be of good courage. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Hey, hey. Maybe slap him a little bit. Don't be afraid. Right? Maybe not the slap, right? Let's take that part out. But anyways, you know what I'm trying to say. Like, hey, guy, maybe shake him up a little bit. The attention to detail. How much the Lord went out of his way right now for his man, for his guy Joshua, to make sure that he understood. Hey, don't be afraid. I'm with you. All right? You got it. I'm only going to say this once. You better get it, all right? Listen up, all right? See you later. See you down the street. Was it that way? It wasn't. That's love. I just sense right now love at this very moment from our God, how he took the time to enable his guy, Joshua. I read a quote by a gentleman by the name of T. Austin Sparks that writes this. Quote, the real battle of faith is joined here. Not what we are, but what he is. Not what we feel, but his facts. Unquote. Here is the real battle of faith. Having faith in our God. The word of the Lord simply says, be strong and of good courage. And we also must be obedient. Joshua was obedient, and he was successful all the days of his life. That is the word of the Lord for us tonight. A continuation of be strong and courageous, but also let's place emphasis every single day to strengthen our inner man. And for that, it requires discipline. It requires obedience for us to always be meditating on the Word of God, for His Word to never depart our lips, our mouth, our conscience. As King David said, as the Apostle Paul said, who they meditate on it day and night continuously. They enjoy, they delight on the Word of God. May we also delight on the spiritual protein that is the Word of God. Spending time in his presence, a healthy prayer life, so we could be filled with power, with might that only comes from above. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's conclude with a word of prayer. Lord, we love you. Lord, we praise you. Thank you so much, Lord, for your holy word and your promises, Lord, for all of us. A promise, Lord, that you will never leave us or forsake us. A promise, Lord, that is you being with us every step of the way. I pray, Lord, that we will live a dedicated life. A life, Lord, that will bring honor and glory to your name. A life, Lord, pleasing unto your sight. May we always, Lord, yearn and want and desire more and more of you. And delight, Lord, in the things of God. Thank you, Lord, so much for your instructions. And I pray, Lord, that we will heed to every single word that the Spirit, Lord, commands us, day to day, every single day. Lord, may we always be of good cheer. May we always, Lord, be courageous. May we always, Lord, know who we are in you. I pray, Lord, that you will strengthen us, Lord, every single one of us, day by day, according to your riches and glory and might and power, for the honor and glory, Lord, of your name and your name alone. And it is in this holy name that I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you.